Looking at soft answers to tough questions. Why a soft answer? Because we're loving our enemies. We're not trying to destroy them. We're not trying to make them feel stupid. We're not trying to prove we're smarter than they are. We're trying to win them. So we're trying to come alongside and understand why they're asking these questions and help them out. We are looking at the tough question of God, and tonight, number two, where did God come from? Now, it's an interesting idea to ask that question because, you know, look around, everything comes from something. The problem with that is that we're dealing with assumptions, presuppositions. We're dealing with the way people tend to think, not necessarily reality. So a couple of points here. First of all, we understand the natural state of man. If man is removed from the revelation of God in the Bible, he must assume that what he finds true in the world is the only truth. It's like a child who supposes that every adult is like his parent, whether that's good or bad, I guess. But all the people will treat him like his parents do, whether that's good or bad. So the natural assumption of the natural man imagines that God must fit his notion of time and space. And in time and space, everything has a beginning. Everything starts. However, natural science has grown, has progressed beyond such assumptions. We actually have scientists now who say reality is greater than what we can experience. Albert Einstein, interesting picture of him sitting at the beach there, theorized and then verified that light is bent by gravity. There was a lunar eclipse that finally was clear enough that it actually proved his theory. His calculations show that time itself can be altered when an object reaches speeds approaching the speed of light. More recent measurements indicate that time is affected by its closeness, its proximity to mass. Closer to the Earth, farther away from the Earth, changes the way time progresses, and even the direction one is traveling. Very precise chronometers were put in two different airplanes that took off and went opposite directions. When they ended, they were not synchronous anymore. Time was different for one or both of them, depending on the direction they were going. These discoveries have led to the knowledge that time is not independent of space and matter. The Bible tells us that God's creation was in the beginning. In the beginning of what? No, just the beginning. The beginning of everything. It doesn't say in the beginning of, it just says in the beginning. So it's the absolute beginning. So you may take your time machine, your Wayback machine, and set it to travel millions of years into the past. But you know what will happen? You'll crash at the moment of creation because that's where the road started. And you can only go that far. So just as God invented matter, creating the world and the worlds, he invented dimensional space and time. God in himself did not and does not exist within the framework of time-space. This concept of time-space was used by several people and then was made more, people were made more aware of it when Einstein started talking about his theories. But in Strong's Exhaustive Concordance number 165, the word ion, and this is, we get our the English word eon, the eons have passed and so on. We get that from this. And it means primarily a period of time. Sometimes it's used as indefinite time, like forever. Other times just a long age. But notice how God used it to refer to matter. In the book of Hebrews, twice, Hebrews 1:2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom, Christ, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. This is the word eons. You could have translated, he made the times, he made the ages. But clearly, making everything here is the implication. And so this is God just showing off, saying, you think you invented this idea of time space? No, I invented it. and Christ made it happen. Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds, the eons, were framed by the word of God. How do you frame an age? You see, the picture there is actually the actual planet and planets being made. But the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made by the things which do appear. So again, worlds here refers to something that can be seen. So we're seeing here that God uses ion to refer to a time-space interaction. Well, let's then ask the question, what does the Bible reveal about God's existence? Some interesting thoughts. Psalm 90, verse 4. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past. And the King James margin says, or when he hath passed them, and as a watch in the night. There were a period of time in the night where they would get up and spend 2 or 3 hours in a watch. But, you know, and then they go back to sleep. For God, 1,000 years can pass like that. Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that lives where? That inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. He says, I am not passing through time. I'm not living in an eternity, which means an accumulation of lots and lots of time. I'm living outside of time in an eternity that has no beginning and has no end. Colossians 1:17, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. We need to recognize that part of the all things that he made is time. He existed before he made time. And then 2 Peter 3:8, probably referring back to Psalm 90, verse 4, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. That's fantastic. I actually spent some time working out the mathematics of this. What if you took one day and stretched it out for it to be 1,000 years long? How long would a second be? You can work this out. The one tick of the clock would be how many days or years, you know? Then, what if you took 1,000 years and crunched it down into one day, one 24-hour period? Then every second of that day was how long? You know, you'd be looking at that day, but with each second, time keeps shifting until at the end of the day, at midnight, 1,000 years have passed. What does it say? It's not a mathematical equation. It means that time, that God doesn't experience time like we do. You see? if you had the secret mechanism and you could slow time down to where this day would for you take 1,000 years to be accomplished, every one of us would look frozen. We would be moving, but so slowly, like the hour hand on a clock, but even slower than that, we'd be moving, but when you stood up and walked around, you would just disappear to us because you'd be moving too fast. We couldn't follow you. We couldn't see you. In fact, I don't know how that would work. You take something and move it from one place to the other. You might be going so fast that the paper would catch fire from the friction of the air. this is just the concept. With God, the passing of time doesn't mean. So what does that say? Well, my friend, you ask, where did God come from? And the answer is, you're thinking too locally. You're not understanding even what your own science has declared. As beings who were created within the framework of time-space, we may find it difficult to picture life aside from time-space. Our difficulties of understanding are not the same as proving an error or saying that something is impossible. Almost every new technological advance, somebody says, well, I didn't think that was possible until it happened, you see. Also, don't be so cocky in your rationalism to suppose that your concept of reality, of cause and effect, that if something is here, it can't be there, don't be so sure that that's the ultimate reality. Our sense of reality is based on sense perceptions that are themselves quite limited. What you see is within a certain spectrum of color. Beyond red is infrared, and you can't see that. Beyond blue is ultraviolet. You can't see that with your natural eye. So if there were living beings that were colored infrared and ultraviolet walking right down the aisle here, we wouldn't see them. Our eye couldn't pick them up. I'm not suggesting they are. I'm just saying that if that was the case. Our ears are limited to the sound. And so if those infrared people were making sounds beyond our range of hearing, the dogs might get upset, but we wouldn't know they were here. Our sense of smell. Dogs have a much greater sense of smell. I guess a bear has 1,000 times more keen sense of smell than even a dog. But, you could be out of the limit of that. And pressure on our bodies and all these other things is just limited. So don't be so sure that your senses are picking up everything. And then again, what we know as reality, that this is solid and gravity works and I'm in this place, therefore I'm not in that place. And if this thing is here, then it can't be not this thing. You know, that's all very logical. But get below the atomic level into the quanta of subatomic particles, and it all goes away. At that place, what we call the reality is just a structure that's been imposed on the chaos of the subatomic quanta. They exist, those quanta exist somehow without the quality of location. They do not occupy a definite place. The best that the physicists can say is that they have a potential place, have a theoretical place. So You say, well, I don't understand that. Well, I'm telling you about it, and I don't understand it. And I read from the books that the scientists who are studying it say they don't understand it. They just know that it's true. So what did God do? God turned his energy into time, space, matter. He spoke it into, he existed, so he turned his energy into this. That formed an organized reality above the atomic level that is solid and understandable and can come into our senses, and we can understand the world. But God himself is not a creature of time, space, matter. He existed when those didn't. So he does not have a beginning, a duration, and an end, except when viewed by us as we pass through time, space. We who are traveling through the stream of time say God continues to exist. And for us, that seems true. But for him, he does exist, just not passing through time. He sees us past, present, and future, all in that time stream that he can view and that he can touch and that he can intervene in. But that was how he created the whole world and its history, time, space, and matter. So, where did God come from? He didn't come from any place. He was there when there was nothing else. And he made it, made a universe where things come from things. But that's an invention from him. So we understand your confusion. We understand that you're trying to make that fit. I think it was C.S. Lewis who said, looking for God in this world is like looking for the author of a book in the story that he wrote. He's outside that and beyond that. So let's be a little humble and say, now this isn't a question we can answer. We can't make God fit into our pocket. He's too great for that. Comments or questions?